Amazon's return to office policy, right? It's everywhere. Like, you can't escape it.
Yeah.
And I think we get it, collaboration, company culture,
right?
All those things they like to say.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't it feel like there's something else going on here?
There's definitely been a lot of discussion around it, especially like Amazon going kind of against the grain, it seems.
Yeah.
With everybody else being a little more flexible.
Mm.
There's this kind of underlying current of maybe there's a bigger strategy at play here.
Exactly. And that's what we're diving into today. We're going beyond the headlines. We're going to be looking at this series of posts from John McBride. He's a former AWS employee. And he says there's a whole lot more to this RTO thing than we're really seeing on the surface.
And it's interesting, right? Because these are his insights,
mm.
but his theory is that it's like a multi-phase plan.
Right.
So it gets pretty interesting when you start to unpack that.
Okay. So McBride, his theory really hinges on this idea that Amazon, they went on that, you know, hiring spree during the pandemic, and now it's coming back to bite them,
right?
Especially with what's going on with the economy right now. And he says all those profits, you know, the record profits that they were making at the beginning of the pandemic, they kind of went a little, you know, maybe made some overly optimistic hiring decisions.
Yeah. And to understand the impact of that, we have to kind of look at how a company like Amazon is structured financially.
Yeah.
Right. And particularly this idea of razor thin margins.
Okay.
Which we know Amazon for, especially their cloud computing arm.
Yeah.
AWS.
Right. Because we think Amazon, we think massive.
Global.
Everything. Yeah. But razor thin margins. I mean, what does that even mean in that context?
So think of it this way. Their entire business model is based on this idea of selling a huge volume of products and services, but at a really low profit margin.
Okay.
So they make up for that low profit on each item by just selling a ton of stuff.
Right.
And attracting like a ton of customers by keeping their prices super competitive.
Yeah.
It's like if you're selling a loaf of bread and you're only making, you know, a dollar on each loaf, you have to sell a lot of bread to make any real money.
Right. Right. Okay. I'm seeing where you're going with this.
Yeah.
So AWS, they're dominant in cloud computing, but they're playing this volume game.
Yeah.
So any little shift in expenses really gets magnified.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
And one of their biggest expenses, employees.
Of course.
Salaries, benefits, all of that. Headcount.
Right. And that's what McBride is saying became a real problem after this big hiring spree. And, you know, trying to illustrate just how sensitive Amazon is to these changes. I mean, remember that stat about their operating margin in 2023?
A mere 4.7%, which even for a company known for its low margins is incredibly thin. And this is where McBride's theory really starts to get interesting. He calls it the big squeeze.
Okay.
So McBride says that once the economy kind of started, you know, not looking so rosy.
Right.
And those pandemic profits, they kind of like went away.
Yeah.
Amazon needed to figure out a way to cut costs, right?
Right.
And when you have a massive workforce, what's one of your biggest expenses?
Oh, I know this one. Salaries.
Exactly. All those salaries. And of course, you know.
Benefits and all that.
All of that. That's a huge chunk of change.
Right. Right.
But it's not just about the salaries. This is where those juicy tax breaks come in.
Ah, okay. So it's more than just, hey, we all miss seeing your smiling faces in the office.
Need
There's
to.
A real financial angle here.
Absolutely. So think about it. Companies like Amazon, when they're deciding where to build those big, massive headquarters, those data centers,
right?
They make deals with local governments.
Sure.
Right? They get tax breaks, subsidies, all sorts of incentives.
Yeah.
And in exchange, they promise things like job creation, local investment, that sort of thing.
Right, right.
But here's the thing.
Let me guess. Those deals usually depend on a certain number of employees actually working in those offices.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. So if you've got a big chunk of your workforce working remotely, all of a sudden those shiny new offices, they don't look quite as appealing to the tax man.
Right.
So what McBride is suggesting is that by bringing all these employees back to the office, Amazon is basically making sure they can hold up their end of the bargain, right?
Okay.
They're saying, look, we're bringing the jobs. We deserve those tax breaks.
So it's a strategic move to hold on to those sweet, sweet tax breaks. But, and I hate to be cynical here, it feels like there's another side to this, right?
Yeah.
Like, what about the employees? What about the people who maybe during those remote work years, they moved, they relocated, they built a life somewhere else?
And that's where McBride's theory takes an even more interesting turn.
Mm-hmm.
He says, this isn't just about saving money. It's about reshaping the workforce itself.
Ooh.
He called the next phase of his theory the silent sacking.
Okay, the silent sacking. That sounds a little ominous.
Imagine this. You're an Amazon employee. You're loving the remote life. You've maybe even moved to a new city, lower cost of living, better quality of life, whatever. You've got it made.
Right.
And then, bam, the RTO mandate hits.
Oh.
You're suddenly faced with this choice, right?
Hey.
Either uproot your life again, maybe your family too, and move back.
Yeah.
Or you stay put and risk being, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Because let's face it, if you're the one who's not physically there.
Yeah.
You're probably not top of mind for new projects, promotions.
Exactly. You miss out on those impromptu brainstorming sessions, those little chats by the coffee machine.
Yeah.
All those informal moments that can really make a difference in your career.
Right, right.
So the thinking goes, a lot of people in that position, they might just choose to leave on their own.
Right.
It's not technically a layoff, but it has the same effect.
So Amazon gets to shrink its workforce, hold on to those tax breaks.
Mm-hmm.
All without the bad PR of a layoff.
Exactly. And it's not just Amazon, by the way. We've seen Google, Meta.
Oh, really?
Other tech giants, they're starting to roll back their remote work policies, too.
So is this an Amazon thing? Or is this like the beginning of the end of remote work as we know it?
Yeah. I mean, is this like a temporary thing?
Yeah.
Or is this really a sign of what's to come?
And it makes you wonder, like, who gets to decide this stuff?
Right.
The pandemic forced everyone to figure out remote work, but now...
Yeah.
It's almost like there's this power struggle going on.
Yeah.
Like, is this flexibility going to last?
Right. And I guess what I'm really wondering is, you know, are companies just thinking about the bottom line?
Mm-hmm.
Those razor-thin margins, the tax breaks, or...
Right.
Is there a way to make it work for everybody?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. And honestly, I don't think there's a single answer. It's going to be different for every company.
Right.
Every industry. They're all trying to navigate this, you know?
It's just, I don't know, McBride's theory, it's kind of a scary thought. Like, even if it's all, you know, technically above board, it just feels...
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of icky.
It really makes you question, you know, the transparency of all this.
Yeah.
And what these big decisions mean for, you know, the actual people involved.
And this whole silent sacking thing, I mean, is that even legal?
Well, that's a tricky one. There are laws, like constructive dismissal.
Right.
Where, like, your employer makes things so bad, you're basically forced to quit.
Yeah.
But proving that is...
tough.
Yeah, really tough.
So what's the takeaway here? It feels like we're in this weird limbo.
And this is why these conversations are so important. The future of work is being figured out right now, as we speak.
Yeah.
It's not, like, set in stone.
Right.
And it's up to everybody.
Yeah.
You know? The employees, employers, even the people making the laws. We all have to decide what we want this to look like.
So it's bigger than just where we're sitting when we work.
Way bigger. We're talking about like autonomy, flexibility.
Right.
Who has the power?
Right, right.
And that's why it's so important to, you know, think for ourselves. Don't just accept what you hear from companies or the media or whoever.
Question everything.
Exactly. Don't just take the headline at face value.
Mm-hmm.
Look a little deeper. Look for different points of view. And always, always ask why.
So the next time you read about Amazon, Google, Meta, any of them, remember John McBride. Remember this conversation.
Yeah.
And keep asking those questions.
Because the future of work literally depends on it.
On that note, we're going to leave you to it. This has been The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
And until then, keep questioning, keep exploring, keep diving deeper.